Welcome back to the McCann Dogs Podcast, episode 24. And I know what you've come here for. It's dog training advice. And today we're going to talk about dog parks. Doom, doom, doom. We've expressed our concern with in the past about dog parks, and that is kind of based around our experience with dealing with behavioral issues mm-hmm. after an event that happened to someone at the dog park. You know, I think there's in today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the dangers of dog parks and try to help you to make better decisions when it comes to using them. Mm-hmm. But we're also going to talk about maybe some things to think about so that you can use a dog park, yeah. because it can actually be a great option if all the pieces are in place.
Mm-hmm. If all the right stars align.
Yeah. So let's start talking a little bit about, you know, some of the issues that we have with dog parks, some of the reasons that I wouldn't necessarily use one, but mm-hmm. I know it's the right option for some people.
Yeah. And I'm with you. I would never, ever willingly go to a dog park, but I have the luxury of being able to make that decision. And I know some people need to use them out of necessity. So we wanted to talk about some of the safer ways to use dog parks. The big reasons that we don't like them, of course, the biggest one is the anonymity factor and the fights and bites and scraps and things that you really don't want to expose your dog to. Illness, of course, being part of that anonymity factor. And also having your dog so focused on play with other dogs is detrimental to their overall health. We don't want them to get the mainstay of their exercise and their emotional needs met by playing with other dogs. There's a lot of reasons for that, but if you're doing some training with your dog and you want them to be focused on you and you want them to enjoy listening to you, they need to get all those needs met from you so they look to you for those needs in the future. And having them go to the dog park and play it off with other dogs every day takes that option off the table.
Yeah, let's circle back a little bit and talk mm-hmm. about some of the issues with, I mean, who's maintaining the dog park? You know, yeah. who's keeping track of what's there? There's all sorts of horror stories about things being placed in dog parks, but there's also sick dogs that go to the dog
yeah.
park.
Yeah, and there's usually an association of some sort that is related to each dog park, each well-maintained dog park. And those are the things that I would be looking for. I would be looking for some accountability, you know, someone who is making sure that there's not sharp glass and trash sure. and, you know, that making sure that there's not something that's going to be a huge danger to our dogs, especially if we're taking the leash off yeah. and assuming that they're going to be in a safe situation. So look for a dog park that is maintained by some sort of association or organization, because the ones that are just sort of fences slapped up together are probably not going to be the safest bet.
Yeah, maybe it's your city or your township, or I've seen actually a couple of like pet stores that have a leash free area mm-hmm. in them that certainly they're much smaller than the city run or township run dog parks, but I mean it's an option and there's some yeah. accountability there to keep that in mind. I've heard people say that my dog barks at other dogs. He just needs to see more dogs. Ooh. He needs to be around yeah. more dogs. And I think he'll you know, find it less interesting. He'll say, I think I get used to it. But that is something that you may run into mm-hmm. when you take your dog to the dog park, is that your dog becomes a test subject or a training thing yeah. For a dog that's not super social.
Yeah, and we do unfortunately hear that one all the time, and people don't necessarily think they're going to go and their dog is going to cause a fight or cause trouble, but a lot of the times they're crossing their fingers as they're going in, hoping that it goes as well as it could, because a lot of the times it doesn't. And I do not want my dog to be the brunt of a dog who's trying to learn how to socialize after having been, you know, in some aggressive episodes.
It just takes one bad experience.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
One bad experience. And that's when we, you know, we get the dogs that come in that are worried about the world. And anytime mm-hmm. they see another dog, they burst out barking because they're like, well, last yeah. time something awful happened to me.
Yeah. Even if it's just to interject on that, even if it's a dog who is barking because they're overstimulated and excited from going to the leash free park nonstop. Yeah. I mean, having your dog in that constant state of over arousal is not good for them. You know, over arousal is a nice place to visit, but it is not somewhere you want your dog residing in for copious amounts of the day.
For sure. We talked actually in our last episode a little bit about some of the skills that you can work on to make sure your dog's choosing you over choosing those other dogs. It's going to lead you to have better attention, better focus, better skills training. It's going to allow you to take that leash off for real and not have to worry about fences, you know, enclosing your dog in there. But the other thing I was just thinking about as we were talking is that people can't read their dogs very well. Generally, you know, dog owners, they're not quite sure if their dog's a little worried or if their dog's, you know, has some, you know, dominance issues or, you know, and I think if your dog's a bully and you take them to the dog park and they get to be a bully with other dogs, then it reinforces that behavior for them. Same thing if your dog's a little bit of a worry, you know, kind of worried and uncomfortable around other dogs. You take them to the dog park and it confirms for them that they have something to be worried about.
Yeah.
And this is a common issue we see when people allow their dogs to chase other dogs around at the dog park.
Yeah, absolutely. And reinforcing those behaviors nonstop will just make your problems worse. Yeah. So going to the leash free park, whether it is that your dog is the one doing the bullying or they're being bullied, those situations will compound over time and make life much more difficult for you.
Kayla and I were traveling somewhere. I forget where we're going, somewhere down south, probably for like an agility competition or something. And we stopped along the way, just off the highway, because it said rest area and had a dog park. And we went into the dog park. We had, I think, 7 dogs at the time, something like that. We had them all off leash and they're running around having a great time. Nobody else was there. The park was completely empty. And someone showed up and they were like, oh, no, it's okay. He's friendly. But we still put all of our dogs on leash and left. No problem. It's all yours. You know, I didn't want to inconvenience the person, say like, hey buddy, just hold on a sec, we're exercising our dogs. But I absolutely didn't want to take a chance that it was a happy-go-lucky golden retriever. But you never know when things could shift, you know, take a turn. Maybe it gets overstimulated. Maybe one of our dogs isn't comfortable with him coming up and whatever, or chasing them around or whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
I can control the situation. So we just put our dogs on leash and we continued a little walk around the park. Well, that dog got to have its own free time in the park. I think there's some factors that you can think about when it comes to using the dog park so that you can make better choices, so that you can understand that, okay, this is a good situation for me, for my dog. And Shannon, you've written an article on the McCann Dogs blog that talks a little bit about it. So let's talk about some of the things that the average dog owner should keep in mind when it comes to using the dog park.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you just said, there are different setups for dog parks. And there are some dog parks that are just like a fenced-in square. So basically the only option that your dog has is to interact with those other dogs because they're going to be in your space or in their space rather. A better situation, there are a couple of dog parks that are set up a little bit differently in this area. And one of them is just a big, long fenced area. And it's many, many acres of basically trails and wide open space that runs along the side of a road and it's all fenced off and whatnot. But it allows the dogs to go in and not have to be in each other's space. Yeah. And every time I drive by it, it's a really long dog park, so you get a good opportunity to look at what's going on in there. And I see really lovely things happening. I see dogs that are happily engaged with their owner and moving in step with their owner, ignoring other dogs on the path, or, you know, saying a quick hello if they are friendly dogs and they say a quick hello and then they move on with their owners on that path. And that happens because of the orientation of the park. It's not a forced play situation.
Right.
It's an opportunity to get some freedom and head off leash. And there's not this pressure on the dogs to have to learn how to communicate with each other in this tiny window of time that they're just meeting each other in.
When you mentioned that it's a long dog park, I wondered if you meant it's dachshunds only. I wasn't sure if that was part of the thing. Yeah. Obviously it's
dachshunds
not.
Dachshunds and corgis. That's it.
Yeah. No, but when I've seen those comparable dog parks, actually we were in downtown Toronto not that long ago, and Kayla and I went into High Park, I think it was, and they have some really cool, I mean, they're leash-free walking paths that go for ever. I mean, I don't even know how long they are. I'd say maybe a kilometer or a little bit more, but they wind through the forest. It was great. I think we maybe passed one or two dogs. It was a little concerning because those dogs were often off leash. And if we'd had a dog with us who was worried about other dogs, you'd have to figure out what you're going to do well in advance of that, the off leash dog running up. But this is the the challenge is that maybe, you know, I'm an average dog owner. I go in there with a dog that I'm like, okay, I want to get him out, practice some walking or do whatever. And, all of a sudden this random dog walks up and I know I'm struggling with barking at other dogs or whatever. And all of a sudden something not so desirable happens.
Yeah.
That's a very real situation that could happen.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, if I am struggling with control with my dog, if I am struggling with any sort of reactivity with other dogs, going to leash-free parks is not my priority. Right. I need to work on those issues. I need to get my dog in check with those issues and comfortable before I put him in a situation where he might be put upon by another dog at a leash-free. So, I mean, that is definitely an example of who shouldn't go to the leash-free park. Like, this is not the place to solve behavior problems. If you have, you know, a dog that's unsure of other dogs and you're experiencing them barking at other dogs on the street because of that uncertainty, the last thing you want to do is go to a leash-free park, get some help so that you can help your dog function in those situations, and you will be so much better off.
There's some times in the day that might make more sense if you are, if you do want to go to the dog park. I mean, there's certainly busier times of day when you go to the, any park, like not a dog park, but, you know, like a, just a school or something like that. You could consider that when you're making a decision whether or not you should go to the dog park.
Yeah, you bet. And one of the suggestions that I have made is go during times that you know the people that are going to be there. You know, there's all sorts of people who make friends at the leash-free parks, and they meet for coffee and their dogs play. And that's a great way to use leash-free parks because you get a chance to observe the play styles of those dogs. They get a chance to know each other. They build a relationship that is bigger than just that, you know, 5 to 10 minute window where there's a lot of tension in that small window. They build more relationship because they spend more time together. You know the people, you know the dogs. It's a very comfortable scenario versus going at random times through the day where there could be any number of dogs and dogs that you don't necessarily know. It's so much nicer if you can keep it to sort of a setup situation versus the all out free for all.
You mentioned play styles. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that, you know, it's easy for us to say, it might be a little bit harder for some people to understand. But another thing that you mentioned in your article, and I thought this was really important, is to have a better understanding of body language, dog body language. And you and I know that often body language is a collection of symptoms rather than one individual thing. And I think for the average, you know, for maybe a new dog owner, they're like, oh, his tail's tucked. That means he's afraid, you know, or whatever. His ears are up. That means whatever thing you think it means. But in reality, there's a lot of, you know, signals that you might get to know, oh boy, I got to get my dog out of here. He's not comfortable, or that other dog isn't comfortable with him.
It's really nice. And I would say, honestly, I think every single person who owns a dog, actually, every single person who exists should read some body language. It should learn to read some body language. There's a lot of dogs in our society. And it's, I think it's really important to keep ourselves safe, especially if you have kids. You know, there are so many situations where we see kids crawling all over dogs, and the body language the dog is giving off is so uncomfortable. And it's all I can do not to jump through the computer screen to grab the child off the dog before something really awful happens.
It's scary.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think everybody should take some time to learn body language, but definitely if you're going to go to a leash-free park, take some time to learn what the different signals mean so that you can interrupt the play behavior or the play behavior that's heading towards something less than play. You can interrupt it at the earliest onset. You know, the last thing you want to do if you are watching two dogs start to escalate in a situation is wait. The last thing you want to do is let it keep escalating.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You want to interrupt. And the earlier you interrupt, the less of an issue it becomes for the dog. So if you can very quickly, you know, you see a little bit of hackles or a little bit of posturing and head over shoulder or something of that nature, and you think, oh, I don't trust that with that pair of dogs. And again, that boils down to knowing the dogs. you should be able to say your dog's name and get them out of that situation quickly. So having some skills in place will allow you to back yourself up when you see body language that you recognize as something that could lead to trouble.
And to recognize that, to see it early enough, you're going to have to be with your dog. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be able to see what's going on and not focused on your phone or crushing your grande pumpkin spice latte. you need to be paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't let children just go run around the park, of a certain age. You need to be aware of what's going on. And I think that's from what I've seen, from the outside looking in, when we're around dog parks, that happens a lot. People are chatting and they get involved in the conversation, and the dogs are just going nuts at the other end of the dog park. And people are just sort of, they're not paying close enough attention. And that's when things, I feel like, that's when I get concerned, because I think, man, whatever, these two dogs, things could change in a hurry. And would you be close enough to do anything? Would you even recognize when things were taking a turn for the worse? You know, one dog will be on its back. I've seen this before. This is a very specific event. One dog is on its back and they're playing and it seems playful, but I know that when that dog's in that position in the real world, that is a very dangerous position for that dog to be. And it's like that old idea that we would roll dogs on their back. People would roll dogs on their back for biting and that kind of thing. Like, it's just crazy. Yeah. That's a dangerous position for that dog to be in. So that can change in a hurry, you know? I don't know. I worry about that. I worry when people take dogs to dog parks that they're just like, okay, go have your 20-minute run while I drink my coffee. And then when you're done, we're going to go home. And they don't pay attention.
Yeah. Be really aware of what your dog's up to, and be really aware of the other dogs in the dog park that are coming in, because there are situations, we've heard of them so much, where people will just open the gate, let their dog in, close the gate, go sit in the car.
Yeah.
Go sit in the car while their dog runs for 20 minutes. And you know what? That terrifies me beyond belief. I can't even imagine being in a situation where all of a sudden this dog showed up and there's no human that's accountable for it. And in a situation where it could escalate. Oh my goodness.
That might be more likely here in Canada, where it's, you know, minus 30 some cold winter days and people are... I don't know. That's a concern of mine. Only because I've witnessed it firsthand and thought, geez, you know, we see these dogs after the fact. And it's people. I just want people to be more aware. That's why we're talking about this in today's podcast. I want you to be more aware of what your dog is telling you, because it can help you to avoid problems.
Yeah. And that's an important thing too. The reason that it is crucial to learn some body language is so that you know if your dog actually wants to be at the dog park at all.
Yeah.
And this is a thing that happens because we, for some reason, as a society, think that all dogs should want to play with other dogs all the time, all day, every day. And a lot of the times when people will start greeting other dogs out on the street, if a dog tucks behind them and says, oh, I'm a little worried, I'm shy, I don't want to do this, or if a person even is trying to say hello and the dog's saying, I don't like this, instead of letting the dog sort of have that moment where they're a little bit uncertain, we say, oh, come on, don't be worried, it's a nice dog, go and say hello to that dog, go and be friendly. And, you know, instead of listening to the dog, instead of respecting that dog is telling you they do not want to play with that dog, or they do not want to be said hello to by that humans, we try to force the interaction. So take an honest inventory of whether you think your dog wants to be at the leash-free park. If they're not going out there and running to find their buddies, and, you know, if they're tucking behind you or trying to find a quiet place somewhere else, that dog doesn't want to be there. Yeah. Don't force it.
Yeah. You look over and Cujo's wearing a bow tie. You're like, oh, that looks like a sweet dog. I mean, look at the bow tie. That's adorable. Go over and meet him, buddy. It's just not fair to your dog.
Well, and remembering always that your dog's fear in their mind is real. If they're worried, it's because they think that is a legitimate threat. Even though we know it's not necessarily a legitimate threat, that doesn't change the dog's emotional state.
Yeah, I that's a really good point. What do you do when you're about to leave the dog park? Is this where you call your dog five times and you're like, maybe he's just not done playing, or you have to chase them down to put that leash on?
Yeah.
Having a good recall is an important skill to have. Having a good recall before you go into the dog park is how you need to approach this.
Absolutely. Anytime you are about to take your dog off leash, do so with the confidence that they are going to come when they're called, or do not take the leash off. If they're not ready for that step, they're just not ready for that step. But I guarantee you, if you're struggling with your recall when there's no distractions, if you go into a leash-free park and take that leash off, you are not going to be getting your dog back very easily, because if they can't do it without distractions, they definitely won't be able to do it when they're in the middle of play. And it is so important that we're able to get them back to us if we need them to come back to us. So leash-free parks, definitely we do not recommend for puppies in any capacity. Make sure that if you're going with an older dog, they have a good recall so that you can stop the play, you can call them out of it. And a really good tip I like to give people, especially when they're calling their dogs out of free play, is to make sure that you practice it. It's not just calling my dog when I'm ready to leave and go home. I need to call my dog, get in some really high value rewards for him leaving that exciting play, and then send him back to play again. So it's a win-win situation for him, and he doesn't learn that me calling him is the end of fun. I never want that message to be.
That's a good point. I was thinking as we were talking about the recall, a great place to train your dog working on whatever skill, recall might be one of them, is outside of the dog park. Yeah. You know, find a distance away from the dog park that's you can be successful.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to start introducing that level of distraction to your dog. And if they're getting great rewards when they're coming back off the come command or their response to name, I mean, your front end, you're preloading the value of that word, of that name, of getting to you before you've ever stepped foot in a dog park, and you have the control that you need.
Yeah, and that is so crucial, because the excitement and the fun of places like leash-free parks for a dog that likes leash-free parks is so over the top. Yeah. So we need to have really good skills in place before we introduce that sort of reinforcement externally.
After spending more than 20 years as a firefighter and 10 of those years as a paramedic, I know that the most unlikely of situations can happen. Mm-hmm. Accidents can happen. And being prepared for those kinds of things is a good idea. In your article, you mentioned have a first aid kit available. Mm-hmm. And just maybe briefly talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually always have a first aid kit for my dogs in my car. I have never considered carrying a human first aid kit. That's interesting. That just occurred to me. But I always have a dog first aid kit in my car, and it has bandages, it has peroxide, it has things that I might need in an emergency, scissors, that sort of thing. And it's just always there, so that if there's ever a situation, you know, even if you're just doing an off-trail hike and they slice a pad on a rock, you want to have things close by so that you can fix that up. Leash Free Park, of course, is no different, and there can be, even with fun, you know, there can be an ear caught with a tooth, things like that. And you know, some of those areas, just like with humans, they bleed a lot. If you've ever had a dog with an ear cut, you know that it goes on and on and on, even if it's not really a severe thing. So it's nice to have the ability to clean and disinfect wounds. And I would also have the name of a vet close at hand, so that if something worse happens and you need emergency intervention, you don't have to waste time looking up vets in the area.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about working in the recall a little bit. It's a lifesaver of a skill. We've heard lots of students say, oh, you wouldn't believe, you know, maybe they're like halfway through a grade one program, you wouldn't believe it, but Scooter ran out the front door. I said, come, and he ran back. I was so excited.
Yeah.
And if that's a skill that you're looking to work on with your dog listening today to our podcast, we actually have a life skills program for dogs that are 5 months and older, where that is one of the main exercises. We have three, categories of skills, as well as a ton of other stuff that we work on. But the recall is first and foremost, maybe I'd say the most important one that we're working on in that life skills program.
I could not agree more. Not only does the recall make sure that you can get your dog back in an emergent situation, it gives you the confidence to give your dog freedom.
Absolutely.
Because if you have a good recall in place, you can take that leash off knowing that you'll be able to call your dog back regardless, and being confident that nothing bad is going to happen to them.
Totally. So if you're looking for guided support through your dog training, and you'd like some help from one of all of our McCann Dogs instructors, specific advice for you and your dog in your training scenarios, and make sure you check out the link in the show notes below to our life skills program. Now, Shannon, this was an important topic. This is something that it comes up in waves when someone will come in, they've had an issue somewhere, and then we talk about it extensively for the next couple of days. But if we can help you to avoid any of these issues dealing with the dog park. There are some opportunities at the dog park to, you know, to get some stuff done, but be very cautious. Be very cautious about how your dog's interacting with those other dogs. I think that's an important takeaway note here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
On that note, guys, I want to thank you guys for joining us. If this is your first time here on our podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe or follow button. And with that, I'm Ken.
I'm Shannon.
Happy training, guys. Bye for now.
Bye, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the McCann Dogs Podcast. And if you'd like some more training resources, be sure to check us out on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook at McCann Dogs. And if you'd like to train with us online, be sure to check out the show notes below for our My Dog Can online training program, where we know in just a few weeks, your dog will become a well-behaved family member. Until then, happy training.